Welcome to the award-winning Young 'Uns podcast. I think it's safe to say that now that we have won Best Group at the BBC Radio 2 Folk Awards, yes, stop the clock. For those people having a sweepstake of how long it was going to take before we mentioned the Folk Award win, it's already happened. Less than 10 seconds into the podcast, we're even more egotistical than perhaps you gave us credit for. So that's already happened. I don't know who won that bet and who didn't there. The bookies, I know, were taking bets quite late on in the evening. Oh, hello. I've been joined.
I've been joined.
Yes.
I'm feeling a bit aggrieved about this because this is turning into the David Eagle podcast and less the Young 'Uns podcast. I'd like to be
This is the award-winning Michael Hughes.
Thank you very much. This is the award-winning David Eagle.
I think we can now officially say that the podcast is an award-winning Young 'Uns podcast.
Yes, it is. Absolutely.
Because everything we touch technically is award-winning. Yes, everything. So think on that, ladies. You want to be graced by the hallowed...
Well, it's only taken us 140 hours of podcasts to get to that point.
I think it was James Fagan's talking bollocks that did it.
Oh, yeah. Anyway, definitely, yes.
Well, now that you've joined me, Michael.
Yes, Davis.
We've got...
This is like being back in the old days. When we first started, Davis.
It is.
We started...
Sean is in bed.
Yeah.
And we've got our own bed, which is quite a novelty for us. We've talked about this many a time on the podcast.
Oh, yeah, he means we've got a bed each. Me and you have got a bed.
Exactly,
we've got our own bed.
We've decided that no longer are we going to share a bed with Sean. Just me and Michael from now on. And that's what we're doing. We're actually doing this podcast from the bed. We haven't had to share a bed so much on this particular tour, but I would still say it's been quite an intimate tour for the three of us. In fact, quite intimate between you and me. You, Michael, got up my nose recently.
I did.
Literally got up my nose. We'll be talking about that on the podcast. That'll be featuring as well. And also, there's other reasons why we've kind of had to...
I don't think you should spoil it, David. I think you
should
build that tension.
I'm building the tension. We'll talk more about that a little bit. This is what's called a tease in the trade. So we've got that coming up. It's also quite an odd, intimate experience for me. Someone who accosted me at a urinal. So we'll be chatting about that. Oh, you remember that?
I do remember that.
Memories. So we've got that. We've got some pitard pontification. We discussed the derivation of the term pitard. And that gets us on to some interesting, hopefully, discussions. There's a rather long, protracted anecdote about my little finger.
Oh, yeah. Oh, God. Yeah.
Coming back to me now from Shrewsbury.
That will be interesting. That's more information on my little finger than anyone could possibly want. And if it isn't, then you've got some odd little finger fetish, and this isn't the podcast for you. I think you need to seek professional help, quite frankly. In addition to that, we've got some music. We've got a Tom Jones cover, courtesy of ourselves and Mark Radcliffe, after our BBC Radio 4 documentary that we did, which is coming out next week. Which will be on the 14th of May at about 11:30 on BBC Radio 4. But we had a bit of a session in the pub. We recorded a BBC Radio 4 documentary in a pub, which I think is an excellent place to record a BBC Radio 4 documentary. And we had a little bit of a session with Mark Radcliffe and his production team. And we have a Tom Jones cover to come from that. And also a song about a dog. Absolutely
woof,
perfect.
Woof.
Woof, woof, indeed. So, it's good. I'm glad you're here, Michael, for that contribution there.
Thank you, David. See, I can now leave.
I wouldn't have thought I wanted to do the woof, woof bit, but you did there, you see. That's where the magic is back. So, all that and more coming up on this week's Young 'Uns podcast. Many people may be a little bit disappointed who listen to the podcast by the election result. May think that the country is in a little bit of a quandary. Maybe a bit of doom and gloom going on. But let's cheer ourselves up with the knowledge that you've got 40 minutes of podcast quality to come up with, award-winning material, and a song about a dog as well. So it's not all that bad. Anything else to add, Michael?
Woof, woof.
Yes, you sounded better the first time. Quit while you're ahead. Our first clip is taken from the Driftwood, from Driffield. This is all about, we discuss the term pitard, which you will be hearing more about. And also, this is kind of like the beginnings of what I was referring to before about why it's been a particularly intimate tour so far for the Young 'Uns. It's because we've accrued a new Young 'Uns member, which you'll hear all about right now when I press this button. It is quite an intimate tour. I mean, we've talked many times before, and we won't go over this again, but we've talked many times before about how we're often lumbered with the three of us having to share a bed on tour. Well, we kind of hoisted ourselves on our own petard because we've just started our tour. Well, yeah, you never hoist. Interesting, because everyone says you hoisted
yourself.
I don't
know what a petard is, to be honest.
It's something to do with the military, isn't it? It's like a.
Is it the pit? Is it the. It's a sort of.
I don't know how to do it. What is a petard? Well, you say these things. It's like a. It's like. I can kind of explain it, but it won't be very entertaining, so.
I have to say, you in Dictionary Corner.
Ah, exactly, yeah. Anyway, yeah, like, people say that. You've hoisted yourself on your own petard, but no one ever says...
People say it, never say it again.
No one ever says you've hoisted yourself on someone else's petard. So it's, I think if you hoist yourself on anyone's petard, it's obviously your own. It goes without saying. Anyway, regardless, I'll explain why I've hoisted myself on our own petard now. We'll get there eventually. No, the reason is because we've got a van. We're going up in the world. We've won a folk award. We've got our own van. You say that, but there isn't enough room for the three of us. I have to sit in the middle, and then there's Sean there, and then Michael there, but Michael's gear stick, in order to get to it, he has to reach down between my legs. I think you chose this especially, didn't you, Michael? So it's quite an intimate thing.
Is that what hoisting a petard means?
Well, hoisting something. Anyway, interesting segue out of Billy Bragg there, but...
Wow,
poignant songs, but absolute drivel we talk in between them.
The next song is quite special to us because it's about something that's happening in our hometown, or one of our hometowns, Stockton-on-Tees.
We got two homes as well now. Yeah. Like politicians, regularly. Two homes in a van. There's still only one bed.
Dear. If I had a petard, I'd jump off it right now.
Jump off a petard, anyway.
How do you know you don't know what it is?
I have a rough
idea. Anyway. At the minute, and it.
I bet you never thought when you came here. I bet you never thought. If someone had put a bet on this, I bet you they'd say petard 30 times.
You're a millionaire.
Anyway,
right. Continue.
Oh, Jerry, can we get a microphone, please? The meaning?
It's a small farm, and to hoist your petard means to blow yourself up.
Yeah. I was going to say bomb as well.
I was.
I thought it was the pin that you pull out.
That would have been quicker if you did.
We're not. Because that was a French song, so probably... It was quite nice, because people kept coming up to me and saying... Here's something for you. Now, I don't know if you want to use this in the second half, but here's something for you. And I think this is really nice. It's like people are... I'm sort of commissioning people now to give me material. Really nice. But apparently, going back to petard again, apparently it's a French word from the verb peter, I believe.
Is that right, sir?
And it... Peter. And it means to fart. And the reason for that is because of the sound that the bomb made. It's like a banger. So it's kind of called the farter. That's the name of the bomb. So... There you go. Back to petard. It's lovely having like a real reoccurring theme throughout the night. And
apparently there's a man. What was the name of the... A man who...
there's a man who performs, apparently.
Le
Petromène. People know this, you see, already. I'm sorry I'm telling you things you already know for any French farting expert to monitor. We know all this, David. Move on. But apparently, the Petromène is someone who performs music from their backside only, so by emitting wind.
Well,
and apparently, this,
considering it, he must be a fair age, considering he started doing it in the 1890s.
Well, no, he doesn't do it. But this is someone who still does it, presumably. I mean, I don't know if there's a long line of Petromènes here, a proud and noble tradition. I mean, who's bringing the heir to the throne now? Anyway, apparently he could do the French national anthem, apparently. So there you go. Right.
I don't know what song
we want. Good idea. I'll try and link what I've just said to the next song if you can, Mr. King. Bit of a challenge to you there.
We'll just go straight in. All right.
Right, one, two, three. Right, here we go. rather educational start to the podcast, I think. I think we've all learned something there. There's a video that we released last week, Mr. Hughes,
for
our song The Streets of Lahore, which is written by Sean Kearney, all about honour killing. So obviously it's quite a sensitive subject, and we recorded a music video which people can see on YouTube. But in typical Young'un style, even though we're trying to film a sensitive subject, you know, even though we're trying to cover this in a sensitive way, there's always something that kind of gets in the way of that for us, which fortunately didn't make it onto the video, but it was a close call. The cameraman pointed something out. This links to why Michael Hughes was getting up my nose last week.
We did a music video for the Streets of Lahore, and we tried to put together what we thought was a lovely sensitive video, and I don't know if people have seen it or not, but the mood that we'd kind of created was somewhat ruined at one point when Michael pointed out that I had an extremely long nasal hair that the camera was picking up. So we had to stop the filming of this, you know, beautiful song that John's written. We had to stop the film, but I couldn't find the nasal hair, so in the end Michael got really frustrated with me and just grabbed my head and started yanking at this hair, and I don't know if it did work, but I don't know if it got on video or not, but that could be an interesting outtake, really, wouldn't it? So, yeah, we could see if we could find the footage, we could sell that. £10 for an album, £20 to see me get my nasal hair plugged out by Michael. Yeah. Someone with a fetish, I'm sure, would enjoy that.
I've got news for you, Davey.
Yes?
It's back.
Is it really? Nose news is exactly right.
Michael Hughes, here we go. He's not back, is
he? I'm joking. Why
are you? Oh, sorry, everybody.
Fun's over. No, let's do another song instead.
Michael was right over there, though.
He was. He enjoyed it. Yes.
Anyway, sorry, everybody.
Oh, we spent way too much time together.
Heading back to Driffield now to hear all about this experience that I had at a urinal.
So on the way, just before we came on stage, I was standing at the urinal and hoisting your platoon. And someone who was stood next to me at the urinal came up, well, he didn't come up to me, he was stood next to me in the urinal. But someone was facing the urinal, sort of tapped me on the shoulder and said, congratulations. Congratulations. And I assume he was talking about the Folk Award, but he could have easily been talking about something else. And he did say it's a big one, but again, I could be wrong.
Was that it? I do apologise. It's a true story. It's something that happened. I can't help it. What did you want to happen?
Dear, dear.
He's not very easily pleased, are you? He was only out 10 minutes ago, Michael.
I do apologise.
You could have done something else, sir. You know what I mean? Michael needs satiated here.
Dear. Right.
Let me be your guinea stick. I will be your...
Right. Rolling down.
Yes.
Hello.
That's the one.
Hey, what was in that chicken?
That's something else he said to me as well, anyway.
Next week, Wednesday the 14th, no, Thursday the 14th of May, we will be on BBC Radio 4 as part of a documentary that Mark Radcliffe did all about the Pennine Way, the Pennine Walk. The first episode was broadcast on the 7th of May, and it featured... Do you remember who it featured? Was it the Emily Smith one? Or?
No, Emily Smith was in session, wasn't she? She did an interview from the road, but it was Bella Hardy. They starred in Edale at the Pennine Way, so they had an interview with Bella Hardy, and then they met up with Kate Rusby and Damien O'Kane. Kane, and then on the 14th is going to be us.
I assume that they're not going to play what we're about to play now, but I apologise to BBC Radio 4 in case they thought this is so good that they have to play it. But after the documentary was recorded, the interview in our songs, we had a bit of a session with Mark Radcliffe and the production team, and we ended up doing some rather interesting covers. Here is one of them. This is Tom Jones and Delilah.
Delilah.
Delilah!
Hang on. So, is it A?
Hang on, I don't know.
A minor! A minor! Yes. I don't know the words. E minor!
Oh,
come on, Barry,
you've got to. This is what I'm
BBC 4G privilege.
Yeah, that was like, what was it called? Skull and Urk, or whatever it was.
Oh, Urk Drain.
We have no idea what we're doing.
Oh, the sweetest thing. Skull Notch and Urk Drain, the Cumbrian type.
Of course.
Right, come on, Barnaby. Does anybody want Spice Rum?
Yes, I'd love it.
Michael's wavering.
I'm right.
Dave, you'll have one.
Like,
come on then, three more.
Come on then.
Hey, come on then. Come on, Barnaby, put the top. Come on, Barnaby. Your BBC career depends on it. Come on. Here we go.
Next year, it'll all be perfect.
Perfect.
The reunion. We'll do this in a year's time.
Every year, Lizzie.
Be back here.
An excellent rendition there. I think a new supergroup perhaps will be formed with the Young'uns and Mark Radcliffe and his production team at the BBC. There you go, something to look forward to. 11:30 on the 14th of May, BBC Radio 4, and of course it'll be available on the iPlayer for 30 days, providing of course that the BBC still exists between then, because I think it's a Conservative policy to do something about that. But we'll see what happens. If the BBC does go down, then we'll have to just move in with the Young'uns podcast and we'll take Mark Radcliffe on as an apprentice.
Oh, absolutely.
How about that? Can't say fairer than that, Mark. Right then. Okay. Here are some more clips from our gig at Driffield.
Jack Hyann,
right, someone's really getting into the spirit of those industrial fumes there, coughing their lungs out, eh? Yeah. Excellent, you're feeling the music, sir, eh?
Yeah, hey.
He's probably got like some sort of life-threatening illness, isn't he?
Hold on, sir! This is my last bloody gig I'm ever going to make, and he's still there.
Couldn't even go to the toilet in the beach.
Made up a story about me, you know? Anyway, this is the last one.
I think we've got time for two more.
And then what would you do after that, though? Well,
are we planning ahead here?
Yeah. Times have changed.
You know, let's do it. Well, then, what do you want to do before that? I mean, after that, though. That's the question. It's important that we establish.
We're a professional band now. You know, we're best group. We've got to have all. People are looking up to us here. You know. I mean, half of the audience aren't even like actual folk fans. They're just sort of scouts from other bands wanting to know how it's done. Big responsibility here.
Yeah. Only Brewster, because I think that we tried that thing. It didn't work very well, did it? Well, anyway.
We don't. If we don't tell them, they might not notice that it didn't work very well in the rehearsal.
All right.
All right. Well, why don't we do? Yeah, and then we'll decide.
Then we'll decide after that. Excellent. All right. We're no further forward.
Are we going to try this new one?
No, I'm just confused about what we're going to do at the end. But just the last. You just want to do just the last line. We all do the last three lines together, do we?
Well, I was whispering to you, but now you're shouting at the mic. Maybe we could teach everybody the last line.
No, no.
Let's not do that.
Do you want to do that?
Oh, no, because it'll go.
It's a bit flippant, Michael Hughes. And she died, you know. I'm not singing that.
Right.
Here we go.
So what?
Okay, and we're ready.
Yeah, so the last song is...
Yeah, I don't know what you're all worried about, for goodness sake. It'll be fine.
Yeah. It's... would regret to tell you that your son Jack was last seen charging alone across No Man's Land towards the German trenches.
You lost half your beard there, my friend. You just got off that woman.
How to ruin...
Just sit. Yeah, sorry,
how to ruin a mood there, but I don't hear it. He's doing a workshop, by the way. He can ruin any mood.
He was charging across No Man's Land with two planks in his hand.
Unfortunately, he was hoisted by his own baton. So here we go.
I'll start again.
I think the last line is the least of our worries, isn't it?
We last saw your son. It's a good job the people concerned are all dead, isn't it? Because they've been furious about it.
Well, you've ruined it now, haven't you?
Your son was last seen charging alone across No Man's Land.
How dare you, Mr. Hughes?
Yes,
look at this. There we are, doing the podcast. He comes in, all aggrieved because I've left him out, and he's off. He's going to make a phone call.
Yeah.
Ah, it's getting too much for you now, isn't it? Getting too much for you, see? There you go. He's gone. Ladies and gentlemen, I mean, if he's bored of it, then what does that say for the rest of you, ladies and gentlemen? He's had enough listening to ourselves talking. I think he was here because he was hoping that there would be more of him featured in the actual clips. And he's now realised that what we do is we edit him out. So anytime he says something, we edit his bit out. And I think he's realised that now and he's gone off to sulk. So there, because Michael speaks. If you've been to one of our gigs, you'll know that Michael does most of the talking. But we just edit all of that out. Just me and Sean, and Michael's finally realised that. We've managed to keep Michael from listening to any of the podcasts, but he's realised that now, and this could cause the end of the Young'uns. So, Mark, you might be drafted in quicker than you thought. Or maybe Michael has left the room to make a phone call because he knows that what you're about to hear is a very long story all about my little finger.
Thank you very much. I think the ghost of that stolen sheep came back into my voice in the last note that he heard.
Yes!
Oh, you did it, you know? I got away with it.
No.
But excellent salesmanship, because if you'd like to hear that song done properly with that nose in, buy the CD.
Well, Mr. Gurney!
Excellent. Meanwhile, I was a little bit worried, because a few weeks ago, I was a bit worried about this tour, actually. Not only because he put his hand between my legs, but also because I was doing some stretches and I banged my little finger off the radiator and I thought I may have broken it. And this is just a few days before the tour.
Hang on, because first, yes. Why were you stretching near the radiator?
Well, I wasn't near the radiator. I stretched, and therefore my arms got near the radiator because of my stretch, Michael. We have to go to the technicalities of stretching here. I wasn't near the radiator until I stretched out. Anyway, right. Okay. My stretch was longer than I thought. So anyway, I thought I might have broken my finger, so I went to the hospital to get it checked out, because my little finger is very important. I'm sure you all heard that. Ding. Ding with the piano, you know, the little finger rests on that. Without the song wouldn't have been anything. So, very important that I got my little finger sorted out. So I thought I may have broken it. So I went to the hospital, and it was one of those situations, it was one of those like one life centre things, you know, where people call it accident and emergency type place. And there was loads of little children there, and I felt really guilty because I thought I might have just been in a situation where it might just be like a slightly bruised finger or something, but I wanted to get it checked out. But there were all these children coming up with rashes and that kind of thing, and, you know, really sort of in tears and hugging their teddy bears and that kind of thing. And my little finger was hurt, so I thought, I deserve a teddy bear as well.
Anyway,
but the only thing is the amount of forms you've got to fill out for these things.
What,
absolutely.
The
not the teddy bears.
Oh, yeah, exactly. The amount of forms you've got to put your date of birth, you've got to put your name, and you've got to go into all sorts of details about how you did it. You know, specifics, what you banged it on, so I put the radiator down. I thought I had to put the brand of radiator. You know, you have to, the amount of stuff that you have to do. Anyway, this took me about 20 minutes to fill this form out. And then eventually, they got me in. They said, it's time, you know, we'll see you now. And I was really guilty because there was all these children who were before me, who should have really been before me, but for whatever reason they put me first. Probably just get rid of me for stealing people's teddy bears. But anyway, the doctor then starts asking me like loads of questions, like, you know, kind of going, what's your name, what's your date of birth? And I'm like, I've already answered this. And I was kind of really guilty because I was like, if I just get out as quick as possible, then these children could be seen to. So I was trying to be really quick, and I'm very good at being quick, as you can attest to. Right now, we're not even halfway through yet. No, we are. Don't worry. Just halfway through. But anyway, we're having this sort of conversation. Then he says, "Oh, and what do you do for a job?" And I thought, why is this relevant? But he asked me this in the form as well. He said, "Well, I'm a professional musician." And why, when you're a musician, you always say professional, because you feel as if people don't believe you, so you have to put professional. But you never do with any other job, would you? I'm a professional window cleaner, like any other type of hobbyist window cleaner. I'm a dilettante window cleaner. Anyway, the worst kind, bloody hell. Anyway, so then he says, "Oh, you're a music, what genre of music?" And I thought, is this really relevant for the NHS survey? Has it just been? So I'm really trying to be efficient. I've got all folk music. And then he says, "Oh, what do you do?" And I say, "I play the accordion, I play the piano." He says, "All right, and I sing as well." At which point he goes, "Oh, brilliant, let's have a song." No, seriously, I'm not going to have a song. And then she said, no, please, we love it. And we'll get out. And he's called, Susan, come in here. And he calls one of the nurses in. He's a folk singer, he's going to give us a song. They call all of these people in. And I can hear the children crying in the background. This is hideous. I'm trying to be ultra efficient. And they're asking for a song. But then, and it only happens with, like, musician or stand-up comedian or something like that. You know, you'd never get it if you were a plumber, would you? You'd never go, ooh. A plumber. Tell us about give us a rudimentary knowledge about how to fix a boiler. You know, you'd never get that. So anyway, I'm sort of saying, no, I'm not going to sing. This goes on for absolutely ages.
We've all been in.
Don't worry, you can talk about nasal hair a little bit later on. But it gets to the point where I then start feeling guilty for wasting their time. Because I'm not singing, so in the end I had to give them a song. But I couldn't think of it, so I just went, "I think I might have broken my finger. I'm really sure it might be bruised." And that was it. And they were like, "All right, fair enough." Anyway, if you want the rest of that story, buy the book.
Right, okay. That
went a bit longer than I thought it was. And then I kind of started the story, and I thought, oh, I might as well finish it now. I didn't know what the finish was. I do apologise. Right. Okay. Well, I think that's all we got time for, isn't it?
Oh, dear.
That's just scolding people for weeks.
Right. Okay. Ah, good idea.
Would you like to join in with a song?
Yay! Here we go, Les.
Let's do this.
Here's the song. "I think I might have broken my finger. I'll give it a bit bruised. Hey!" Right.
Oh, thank you very much. Well, ladies and gentlemen, it's been a wonderful night. Thanks so much for coming out to see us. It's been great to be back in Shrewsbury. We are coming back. We're going to be at the festival this year on the Saturday and Sunday.
I'm doing a one-man show. It's called One Man and His Finger. That could constitute anything. That's also one of the raffle prizes as well.
I mean, you should say when he's drunk.
Well, I'm going to call that episode one of my finger anecdote. I think there'll potentially be more from that. Maybe we'll set up a special subsidiary podcast, which no doubt will then envelop the
the Young'uns podcast and just become the main staple point of people's listening. So because we've got this van and the three of us have been inseparable, essentially, on this tour so far, it's meant that we've had a little bit more time to rehearse some songs. I mean, obviously, we couldn't get the guitar and the piano out. That might be a little bit dangerous. But, you know, some unaccompanied songs. That's the great thing about being an unaccompanied group, that you can actually rehearse in the van. And we attempted a couple of these songs that we rehearsed in the van that very day on tour. So we rehearsed them in the van, never done them before, and then we wheeled them out for our gig at the Trelawland Memorial Hall in Wales, near Rhyl. Well, the results were a bit mixed.
Now we are ready.
Irony in our music.
Exactly. Well done, Mr. Kearney. Very good. Right.
This is something that we rehearsed in the car. Oh,
in the van, yeah.
My mistake.
Yeah.
In the van on the wheel. So
I work best through muscle memory, so you might have to put my hand between my legs at some point there, my
God. We're a lovely distance away, thank God.
Shall we try that again?
Yeah.
Now we are ready. Okay. Now, here we go. Now we are ready.
It would have sounded better if you'd have been in the car, not a van.
Ah, yeah, with the sound of the engine and the indicators going to the windscreen wipers, it sounded brilliant. So,
can I ask a technical...
Everyone to our van after this.
Can I ask a technical question, Dave?
Yes.
I was supposed to do a key change. Did I...
We did a key change, but then you did a massive pause before you started singing again. At which point everyone would have forgotten what the original key was.
Did I achieve the change of key?
You achieved the change of key, yeah. It just took like 5 minutes to get.
Right. We're very inspired by Westlife.
Key change.
I was a bit better.
Pause change, whatever you
want. I wore these tight trousers just to make sure I could do it, really.
Right.
Feel like Greg Russell. So I did.
You did, but there's a big pause, yeah.
Yes, you keep saying, yeah.
All right, okay. Well done.
Well, thank you. I was a bit nervous, to be honest.
Right, what should we do now? We're going to try some beatboxes in the next song. Here we go, all right. Well, short, don't leave a pause before you do your yodeling, for goodness sake. That was very embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh, let's do that. Here's another new one. Right.
This is another one we practiced in the van.
Is this the real life? Come on, people. You can't even get the first line right. It's not going to go very well, is it? Right.
Awesome. Oh, this is going to be interesting.
Fine.
You don't mind us trying.
Yeah, exactly, yes. You should have done this before the tour rather than on the second day of the tour. But here we go. Right, we've won best group. We can be rubbish for 2 months. No one cares.
Right.
Then
no, we'll just be good again. Right.
Hey, here we go.
With a shawty town, aye-o.
Did it sound alright? I didn't do any applause.
Not bad for a first attempt, you know what I mean? We'll do it in front of a real audience one day.
Thank you very much for listening to this week's Young'uns podcast. But we're going to leave you with this song about a dog. And it was an accidental song about a dog. Basically, we do some work in schools. We write songs with children. We've been doing a lot of school work recently. And someone requested in the audience my song A Lovely Cup of Tea about the English Defence League protest outside a mosque in York. But I hadn't played this song for so long. We stopped performing it quite a few months ago. But But it turned out that I haven't played it for so long that I forgot how the song started, and I ended up launching instead into the instrumental beginning of one of the songs that we'd written with some school children called Rab the Dog Who Went to War. And inevitably, this meant that after I did a lovely cup of tea and people shouted more, there was only one song that could be done. And so ourselves and the audience began to sing a song that is essentially meant for children and involves members of the audience barking like dogs. we wheeled this out as our encore piece, Rab the Dog Who Went to War, and we're going to play it out on this week's podcast. Thank you very much for listening. We'll see you next week. Until then, keep your pecker up. Although if you are in public, you know, just be a bit discreet about it. Until next time, from me, David Eagle, Michael. Just say goodbye. This particular song imagines the scenario from the perspective of an EDL member. Yes, I'm not being too controversial to say goodbye. So here we are then. All right. I might have to run back to the band lab. We'll let you in on a little secret. There is no van. We don't even have a van. We just made the whole thing up for slight comic effect. That's how desperate we are for material.
Right.
Okay. I'm not even blind as well. That's just a comic effect as well. All the secret trivials. And Michael's not even really camp. Sean can actually sing. See if I can remember the words.
This is a completely true story about seven brothers, well, six brothers and a brother-in-law, the Wallace brothers from Middlesbrough, who were enlisted together in 1914, took the dog with them, and they all came back 4 years later, right for the dog who went to war.
That's the call, he was going to say. You can join in with that if you want.
Okay, here we go.
Right, let's do that again.
da 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 da.
Let's try that.
We're trying to be professional.
I know, but I'm not being one. Recording this for a DVD. All right. Here we go. You're going to put your hand up now. This is going to be really okay. That's a good point. You're opening the guitar. You idiot. All right. Okay.
Do you think it was just a backing table all these 10 years?
I just went, how's he going to put his hand
in? Right,
okay. So when Michael puts his hand between your legs, that's when you're like, the sausage dog, right. What a big dog, right. Still here. Yeah.
Da 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 da.
Look, we've been. Yes, thank you. Da 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 da.
Oh, that's it. Right. Okay.
Hello, Putney. Here we come. Right. Here we go.
The dog who went to war.
All the way through that verse. What are the lyrics? If you want the lyrics, you're a song collector.
What's great about this is you've got a reviewer from the newspaper.
Unfortunately, it's Books Magazine now. It's in the new fine.
What on earth? He's on the front row.